Hi and welcome to CDI's Restorative Practices podcast, Circles of Connection, where we get right into the heart of the community and talk all things RP. These past few months we've been busy collecting stories from right across the country about the impact of RP on people's work and life. We talked to social and community workers, youth workers, SNAs, teachers, students and more to gather their testimonies and stories. Each episode is focusing on a different setting. If you're not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative questions and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of our podcast series where it's all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danew, a restorative practices trainer for CDI, delighted to be travelling around Ireland to gather these stories. For this episode, I went to Rathnew, to Wicklow Secondary School. I met with four students, Ed, Finn, Evie, Maya, and a staff member, Kira. We talked about how RP are implemented in the school and the impact it has. Michelle Stowe from Connect RP delivered a workshop in the school about 2 years ago, and Kira was trained as a trainer in restorative practices with CDI last year. Wicklow Secondary School is not any school. It was set up in 2016 and follows the Secondary Valley School model created in Massachusetts, USA in 1968. It welcomes children from 5 to 18 years old all together. But best is to listen to Finn explaining how the school is run.
My name is Finn Kahn. I'm 17 years old, and this is my third year in Wicklow Sudbury School. Wicklow Sudbury School is Ireland's first democratic school, where we come here 5 days a week, and two of those days we have our school meeting, where the students and staff come together and have an equal vote in how the school is run. And it's all done with self-directed learning, so the students decide what they want to do, when they want to do it, and no matter if you're 7 or 70, you have an equal vote in how your education is run. So we have students and staff members, and we have a structure, but it's completely optional. We have different subjects that either students or staff members are put on every week, and you can choose whether to go to that or not. And the students and staff who are running the activities have a charter of their commitment. So for example, I run drama on Thursdays, and I'm putting together that I'm going to put together a group of maybe 7 or so people that they have to be there for the next 6 weeks, unless, you know, of course they're sick or they're really not, if their mental health is bad. And the whole school overall has a big emphasis on mental health and how students learn and making sure they get the best out of their education of what they want.
So the school is set up for self-directed learning, classes and activities are optional, and any matter regarding the running of the school is voted during the two weekly school meetings, and this is the heart of the democratic structure. The second important element is the JC, where the school deals with conflicts, incidents or people breaking the rules. Its structure has evolved with time, and the past couple of years, the restorative questions were introduced. Let's listen to Maya, Ed and Evie, who tell us how it works.
I'm Maya. I'm 18. I'm a student of Wicklow Sudbury School. I've been in the school since the beginning, so for almost 4 years. In our school, we have, you can write each other up for breaking rules or if there's a conflict or something happens. And during a certain time during the day, we have the JC or the Justice Circle. We have two clerks who run it, and we have, including myself. And there we have a rota of students, or we call them the peer duty, where they have to sit in and vote and listen as well. And during this, we basically call in the people who've been written up and ask them the restorative questions, and sometimes the cases go on. There's a lot of people involved, maybe, or the person who wrote them up has to be called in as well to get their side of the story. But really what we're trying to do is just resolve everything and just gain an understanding and empathy for each other, I suppose. The JC is really based off of the questions now, and how it functions is because of those questions. If we didn't have the restorative practice questions, it just wouldn't work as well, and there'd just be a lot of upsetness and fights, and people would just not be friends anymore or something.
I'm Ed. I'm 16 and I've been in the school since it opened. So I'm in my fourth year now. Restorative practice is used in mostly through what we have as our kind of form of conflict resolution, which is the JC, which stands for Justice Committee, which is basically where Justice Circle, I should say, which is where a group of five people, two clerks, two justice clerks who are elected, and then three peers who are just any members of the community, a student, a staff, and a younger student, an older student, and a staff, who, you know, everyone has to be on peer duty. It's one of the few mandatory things that are in the school. And yeah, we have a process in that we go through where someone writes someone up for something they did that they didn't like, that they feel hurt them, or that, you know, it broke a rule that that's out of the rule book of rules that we all agree on as a community. And then so that person writes down what they think happened from their perspective, and then we look at that in the JC, and then call in the people involved, and then use the restorative questions and the restorative practice to kind of really hear all sides of the story.
My name is Evie. I'm 14 years old and I go to Sudbury School Wicklow. I've sat in the JC as a witness and a peer duty. I think that it really works. I think that I actually really like just listening to how it all works, and just listening to the questions, like, because it's nice to hear instead of just fighting, if you know what I mean. It's nice to hear, like, what were you feeling when you were going through this? Like, it's nice to hear all these questions being said instead of just, like, rah, you know what I mean?
As Ed mentioned, at the start, the JC stands for Judicial Committee, and it followed strictly the Sudbury model. If someone broke a rule, he or she could be reported and was brought in front of two clerks and a jury of peers. The main goal was to ensure facts were investigated and a fair sentence was applied if it was proven that a rule had been broken. It looked a bit like a mini trial with a focus on objectivity and fairness. But it didn't meet the needs of the school community, as Kira explains.
So my name is Kira Breheny and I'm a staff member at Wicklow Sudbury School. So we have a system in school called the JC, the Justice Circle, which we've had since the beginning. And it's a model from the Sudbury Valley School in Massachusetts. But from the very beginning, it felt very just a little bit too black and white and a little bit heartless and just dealing in the facts. But like we all know, in conflict, there's always feelings. There's always a personal element to it, interpersonal conflict in particular. So we were looking for something else, and restorative practice was recommended by a parent in the school. And we started exploring that, and we had somebody come in and do a full day workshop with us, and then a follow up half day workshop. So Michelle Stowe came in and she did a full day with us, and it was a real moment. It was very exciting for us to really start to realise that actually it's all very well going through the motions of the JC, reading through our script to try and find out what happened. But if you weren't actually finding out what actually happened, that you weren't always getting to the heart of the real issue. That was often, is nearly always underlying it. So it was that moment of realising, oh, it's the language we use, the way we say things, all of this comes into play. Suddenly our awareness was brought to that, and it was very exciting for us. And we suddenly had something to work with. And since then, we've been, you know, using it, trying to find ways to use it with just that little bit of training. The questions are great, but there's so much more to it than that. So not having that was a disadvantage, and we were sort of fumbling around in the dark, almost trying to find our way to use this, because we are, you know, obviously very different to other schools, traditional schools, that there's no point somebody's going to be sent to the principal or whatever, or sent outside the door. So yeah, it took a while for us to start to figure out how to use it in our situation. And since then, I've gone and done training. And the plan is, because we have a lot of new students, a lot of new staff who didn't do that day and a half at Michelle. So the feeling is the more people who have the same training, the more of us are on the same page together, and the more we can start really making this part of our culture. So that's where we're at now. We do use the restorative questions in our JC, but yeah, it's and it's going really well, and it's really changed that hugely, hugely changed it. And we're continuously tweaking it, but I feel like there's more to come still.
Ed had been very involved in the running of the JC from the beginning, and he talks about the impact of the training Michelle Stowe delivered and the introduction of restorative practices.
For myself, I think the first time that I kind of experienced any kind of restorative practice training was with Michelle Stowe when she came into the school. I just really found it quite incredible. Like, I think what really appealed to me about it at the time was just how easily you could apply it to like a community of people like in our school and stuff. And I think that's how the training was kind of, that's where it was geared towards. So I just really liked that, because at the time I'd been like a JC clerk for already like a year and stuff. So I was like, I was very committed to, you know, wanting to make it the best it could be. And that really seemed like such an amazing way to make it a more positive experience for everyone. And then other than that, I've done like a few NVC like day workshops here or there. Yeah, something that's kind of just been coming up for me like on a personal level more and more in the past few years. Just kind of, I'm noticing more and more how useful a skill it is to have in everyday life, and then to be able to bring it to a community of people as well is really powerful and has been really helpful as a whole. It was kind of perfect for our school as well, I think, because, you know, if you look at, you know, mainstream school systems or just the mainstream world in general, like it often is like very black and white and stuff. So in terms of how conflict is resolved, so restorative practice is, I mean, it's something that I think everyone can benefit from. And it really helped us like kind of move away from that more systematic, this is the way things, you know, this happened, this is how it should be fixed, you know. Instead, it was a more caring and understanding way of approaching conflict, which it was incredible to really, and has been incredible. It still like continues to be something that we're kind of, I think we need more and more training, and something, you know, it's a practice, so you need to have that kind of continuous training and stuff to really have it ingrained as a part of yourself and then as a community as well. So I'd just like to be getting more and more of it.
To illustrate a bit more how the JC is working, Kira has a story.
One favorite story that we have in school was the time, so we have bushcraft that happens once a week, and they learn about making fire and building shelter, and they get certified to use knives or build fires and stuff. So it's all very sort of well organized. But, you know, there's something about being outside and fire that brings out the little wildling in children. So there was one occasion where three of the younger boys decided to pee on the fire to put it out. And, you know, we're in a semi-urban environment. That's fine out in the woods, but in this kind of environment, it was felt not appropriate. So there was a complaint written to the JC. And then when it was brought in, there was a huge number of people in the room because there's quite a few of them involved. And of course, all their friends came in, and there was a lot of giddiness because of the topic. And, you know, as the adults in the room, you're trying to be well, that fine line in that situation, for example, where you're, yes, you can see the humorous side. You don't want to be a fuddy-duddy about it, but they also need to understand their responsibility and the expectations of them and their behaviour in the school community. So we had people who were doing some research from UCC in Cork. They were there as well. So we had quite a full room, which added to, you know, the idea they had the audience there, of course, of these people, new people. So there was a lot of giddiness in the room. And we went through the process. The JC clerks at the time were two students, teenagers. And it was interesting. I didn't really notice it at the time because it had just become normal. But it was one of the women who was one of the researchers spoke to me afterwards. And she commented how, you know, they were there in the room, these three extra adults and all these kids. And then and there was a lot of, you know, as I said, giddiness and stuff. But as they were going through the process of the JC, and when it came to the part where to ask the six questions, she said there was such an immediately perceptible shift in the room in terms of the body language of the children involved. Just everyone, the listening part just kicked in, and the messing stopped. And each child, as they were asked, you know, what happened and what were you thinking at the time, and went through the questions, that there was immediately their bodies relaxed. She said their gaze went down, they became reflective, and they went through. Yeah, they knew what to expect. Okay, now we're doing the questions. And they answered each question as it was presented to them. And she was blown away by that. You know, just like you could snap your fingers the minute the first question was asked, what happened? Everything shifted, everything changed. Their bodies relaxed and all that, as I said. So, yeah, it was and for me, her saying this outside person, seeing this and reflecting that back to me was a real moment of, oh, yeah, actually, yeah, this is really working, because now we're using this all the time, and they know what to expect when they go into the JC. They know they'll be heard. They know they'll be given an opportunity, even if it was in that case just, I wasn't thinking, I just thought it'd be funny, you know. But still having that opportunity to reflect on it, and then what have you thought about it since? Oh, I probably shouldn't have, you know. So, yeah, that was a real moment for me of realising, oh, wow, this is a really good thing that we have now, that these kids... They know what to expect and know what's expected of them.
According to the students, beyond the JC, the culture of the school has become much more restorative.
It's also now bled into and incorporated into our culture. And yeah, that has had a huge impact, that it has significantly cut down the amount of JC cases, because there's a culture of, you know, say I have a conflict with Ed. First, I'm going to try and solve it with Ed, going through the questions. And then if that isn't working, we might bring in a mediator. And if that still doesn't work, then it goes to the JC. And that really is ingrained in our culture that instead of the blame game of, no, it was you, no, it was me, or whatever, it's, well, what was going on for you? And how is that making you feel? And how do you generally feel in the culture, in the school? And that in itself has been really restorative. Instead of going, you know, putting other people down, there's more of a culture of putting other people up. I personally use it quite a lot with the younger students. For example, one of the students will be annoying the other student with either taking their seat or taking their ball or just making loud noises or doing something that is, you know, considered irritable and just generally annoying. And that will start with the other student being like, stop, 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 or whatever. And they're getting annoyed, and then they're getting annoyed because they're getting annoyed, and so on and so forth. And then I'll step in and I'll just ask the simple question, what's up? And that has gone a long way for a lot of people. So in that situation where someone like stole the ball or whatever, and they're hogging it, and it's like, what's up? And they're like, well, in this game of basketball, I'm just not being passed enough, and it's not fair, and I'm unhappy. And, you know, immediately everyone else goes, oh, right, this person feels neglected, or, you know, they want to help because they're understanding. And then I say to the other people, so what's up for you? And then how are you feeling? And it's like, well, it's annoying because I want to play the game and this person took the ball. And already, once it's not you're annoying, it's I'm upset, already you want to help. Immediately strategies come up as like, how about you come onto my team because we have left players and you'll be passed to more, or, you know, a million one strategies come up as soon as the feelings and needs are identified. And that is, it all starts with that question for me, what's up, or what happened from your perspective? And particularly that sort of baby giraffe speaking of, like, you know, you ask a kid, oh, how do you feel about that or whatever? It's generally speaking, they don't know. So you guess and you say, well, are you feeling upset or are you feeling neglected or whatever? And they're like, what does that word mean? And you explain it. And they're like, yeah, that's the feeling I'm feeling. And they're very honest as well, where they'll say, no, that's not it at all. And that has introduced some of the students, because once the older students model something, the younger students kind of follow along with that.
Evie remembers the first time she was involved in an incident. Some younger students had taken some of her personal belongings and were playing with them. She witnessed how a staff member dealt with the situation.
She was just trying, like, to use it in a way, like, that isn't giving out to them. Because I know, like, some people that would just see as giving out as the only way to solve things, if you know what I mean. Like, a lot of things was probably going through their mind then. They were probably really excited, really hyper, like really like energized, and they just wanted to have fun, and they like nothing was like, they weren't like asking themselves like, is this okay? And I just think it's a really nice thing that's like really helped me, because I actually have some like problems with like saying to people, no, I don't want you to do that. Like, and I think as I've come to this school, it's really taught me how to act in certain situations.
Finn compares the culture of the school with his previous experiences in other schools.
I had 2 years of secondary school, a mainstream secondary school, and I did all of primary school system. And in the secondary school system, it was very much, if anyone's acting out in class and they will not listen, it's principal's office or detention. Very much like, this is bad behavior, we're marking this as bad, and this is the punishment for it. And naturally, those people would continue to do the exact same things. And, you know, usually they wanted to do very simple stuff. I remember one guy in the class, he just wanted to sit at the back because that's where he worked best. And he was very good at voicing that. He said, look, miss, I'm not very cooperative, but if you allow me to sit at the back of the class, I'll do whatever you ask. And the teacher was so, no, you have to sit at the front of the class in your assigned seats. And this is how I've organized it. And this is how it has to be. And so, he walked out of the class and later got a detention. In a culture in this school, for example, it's very much about those needs and about like, okay, what helps you? And I can imagine, I mean, that situation would never even arise in our school, but there is a massive contrast between, okay, so what's going on for you that isn't allowing you to sit at the front of the class? And someone who wasn't able to voice it as that easy just said, look, I need a comfortable space to learn. And that was his comfortable space to learn. And I think, you know, everyone knows it, whether they know it intellectually or unconsciously, everyone knows what they want and what they need. And, you know, generally speaking, you're like, okay, I'm hungry, I'm sad, I'm this, I'm that, you know. And I think restorative practice for me is something that allows us to voice that and help us work together, because, you know, you might be hungry and I might be happy and you might be sleepy. What's a strategy that will all work for us together in a community?
Finally, the students share the personal impact RP had on them.
Restorative practice really like opened my eyes in a way to a lot of like how other people feel and how like conflicts, how you can go about that and really resolve them. It really changed a lot, I think, in my mind about that, and how I kind of want to be able to learn more about it and bring it more into my life and into other people's lives to kind of help them with that. Because, you know, sometimes like people have petty fights, or I see that, I'm like, oh, if I could, yeah, if we could all kind of understand that maybe there's like other things going on for each other, or learn to have like a deeper empathy for ourselves and others as well, I'd really like that.
I think for me anyway, restorative practice is all about relationships. You know, my relationship with a friend, my relationship with a family member, or even a partner. And that's because, you know, if you're by yourself, you would think there's very little conflict that goes on. And then so you start to learn this, or I started to learn this, and I started, you know, when I'm with people, conflict happens. But then I started to realize the amount of conflict that goes on inside my brain. And you kind of, you know, someone said once, if you want to find the most vicious war zone in the world, go inside anyone's brain. They're always like, oh, I'm worthless, or I'm no good, or oh, that was an awkward interaction. It's chaos up there. And for the longest time, I focused so much on going outwards and my relationships with other people that I forgot about myself. And learning NVC and restorative practice really helped me go. Well, I literally walked down the street one day and I was like, hi, Finn, how are you today? And going, oh, I'm not actually that great, you know, and starting that sort of dialogue with myself. And even though I look completely crazy to other people, like talking to myself, it was really, really helpful to kind of understand myself. And particularly in the, that helps again going out into the school, because if someone says, hey, Finn, can you mediate? I have to first go, can I mediate? Am I in a space in which I can fully empathetically listen to people? And sometimes the case is no, I can't do that. I've had an awful day. I haven't had enough sleep. Something happened that I need to be listened to, or whatever it is that I doesn't allow me to do that. But it's a holding a boundary there and saying, no, I'm not in a space I can. And maintaining that relationship with myself has been quite the journey.
It's given me more of a perspective on myself and understanding, you know, what my needs are in a lot of situations, and how I really feel about you know, a situation, or yeah, how much of myself I can give to fully to, you know, an interaction with another person or something. Because I think, like with restorative practice and stuff, it's all about, you know, using the questions and stuff, you are trying to find out, you know, exactly what was going on for that person. So I think you can definitely apply that to yourself in a lot of ways and kind of go, what's going on for me? And yeah, so it's given me that perspective both for myself and of other people, just in a lot of situations. Like even if I struggle sometimes to, you know, use that training that I've had, or use the knowledge I have of restorative practice and actually apply that and kind of deal with the situation restoratively, you know, that can be quite difficult a lot of the times. But regardless, it's always given me that perspective of the bigger picture and exactly what's going on, or what, you know, given how I feel and how other people are expressing things, how you know, what I kind of perceive as being the kind of, yeah, having that understanding. Yeah, so I think that's what it comes down to for me. It's just giving me that kind of understanding for myself and others. Because I think, like, I always would have kind of had that to a certain extent, like growing up all through my life, like kind of had that empathy and such for others. But just it really kind of has emphasized that for me and helped me a lot with a lot of my relationships with people and my relationship with myself as well. And kind of, yeah, trying to look after my needs and my friends' needs and stuff to the best of my abilities.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to rate and to subscribe to the show. And thank you to the production team at the podcast studios and to all who took part on the project. Find out more at cdi.ie.